Praise the Lord. First of all, sir, I want to thank you for standing out for us in this our wicked generation.
Thank you, sir.
The Moses of our generation.
Thank you. My name is Moses.
I want to say that in my dialect, there is this adage that they say, anyone who is not from his job, make it pain the person die.
Anybody who is not from...
Where he not from his job, make it pain and die. That in his job language, they said, Ezondo Park,
make the team pain and...
Make it pain and die.
Pain and die. That is...
What am I trying to say?
They get jealous of
you. If you are not privileged to be one of those whom are drawn, that is your business. So what am I trying to say here? Some of us who are very angry with these messages, within me, in my conclusion, I say they are not one of us.
That's right.
That is my own conclusion. Because Jesus said, you are not my father's children. For if you were my father's children, you would have believed me.
That's
you would
right.
have believed my message.
That's right.
He said, you people are the children of your own father.
Clap your hands now. That's the summary of it all. Amen.
So they know who their father is. Praise the Lord. So it shouldn't pain you or anybody here. Each time you go out evangelism and people refuse to listen to you. For those one who are his own, he said, they are his own. They
That's
will
right.
hear his voice. And the moment they hear his voice, they will follow.
Amen.
I used to have that experience when I go out evangelism. Praise the Lord. Now my question is this. As a people of God, like we all know ourselves, that we were like eagles that was harsh in the mix of chickens. Hallelujah. The question is, can we actually fly with the mother eagle when the day comes if we still operate with the mentality of the chickens?
Certainly, that is why there is a message to us. Come out from that chicken congregation. Chicken idea. Chicken mentality. Come out. You are not chickens, you are eagles. That is why we have the end time message.
Sir, you are from the north. There is an illustration I want to present and ask a question. The women, we have idea of what I'm trying to talk about. There is this melon they call engine-peeled melon and hand-peeled melon. The women who go to the market to buy the engine-peeled melon, they buy it because they don't have money to buy the other one because it's more expensive. The hand-peeled melon is always more expensive than the engine-peeled melon. Now, the hand-peeled melon is always neater. But whenever those women who used to buy the hand-peeled melon come to the market and they did not see the hand-peeled, they would want to manage the engine peel. But they take their time to sit down and select all the dirty inside it before they will allow the person that is grinding it to grind it for them. What am I trying to say here? Are we sure that if we practice some of these things that we used to as chickens, as an ego in the midst of chickens, when our mother comes, like the engine peel melon, you know, Greek carry us along, go. Praise the Lord. Now, where my question is going is this. Concerning communion, I have an understanding from my own study. Like you said, those who study will always have questions to ask.
Sure.
Now, the Bible says, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, this is my flesh. Now, the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1 that the word was made flesh. Then secondly, in the book of Matthew chapter 16, from verse 5 down, he mentioned about the disciples being guided against the yeast of the Pharisees, referring to bread also, but in their understanding, they thought Jesus was talking about bread. And why they started grumbling among themselves, he said to them, why are you guys thinking I'm talking about bread? I said, you should guide yourself against the yeast of the Pharisees. He did not even explain it in explanation. He still went ahead and mentioned it the same way he mentioned it earlier. But because he emphasized this, they now understood that it wasn't bread he was referring to, that he was talking about the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, how come we now, the children of God, now receive that example, that illustration, that practical he did by giving us that bread, which we are supposed to know as the word that was made flesh, as giving communion and taking blood in the church? That is my question.
From melon to bread. You went far. I'm trying to understand you.
You remember, the melon is an illustration of the eagles
now
acting like
now, how do you link the process of communion with the selection of machine-peeled melon.
Okay. The thing is this.
The hand-peeled melon.
Look at where I'm coming from. Practicing some of those things that we...
And you bring it to communion. So what about... How do you link it with communion?
Now, the link now is this. The hand-peeled melon is those child of God that are as clean, that followed every step and every word of God that Jesus Christ taught for them to follow, and they agreed. Why the engine-peeled one are the ones that have separated themselves?
How do you link it with communion?
Where I'm coming into communion is the communion table which we are taking, from my own understanding, as a child of God, which we have discovered whom we are now. Is it proper for we to take communion as we used to when we were with them?
How were you with them? How were you taking it then, and how do you take it now?
My understanding goes like this, sir, and that is where my question comes from. That the communion which Jesus demonstrated, like he said in the book of John chapter 6 verse 26, he said, you people come to me not because you understood the meaning of my miracles, but because you guys ate the bread and you had all you wanted. Now, the thing is this. Everything Jesus demonstrated has a meaning.
Yes.
That is to say, he was demonstrating with the bread and the blood as an illustration and not for us to practice. That is my own understanding now.
Okay. So how will you explain 1 Corinthians chapter 11?
Yes. There I will now come.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. Read it from verse 24. From verse 23. Read it. From verse 23, let's read it down to verse 26, 25. For I have received of the Lord, this is Apostle Paul saying he received of the Lord. Yes, he was not among the 12 on the last day supper that they had.
Okay, sir.
After his conversion, long after the ascension of Christ, Christ met with him and began to give him revelations. So he's narrating what God told him. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant, new testament in my blood. This do you, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. What is your question?
My question is, the bread, as it says in the book of John chapter 1, verse 14, which is the word that was made flesh. In my understanding now, sir, that is the bread he was referring to, not the word that he expects us to eat as the flesh? See, is it not the word that he expects us to eat as the flesh? Because the same way our body needs food, which is bread,
Where did he say we should eat it? Are you referring to what Apostle Paul said?
From what Apostle Paul said, you know, before Apostle Paul made this statement, there is a place he said he did not praise us in this very action. When it comes to this communion, Apostle Paul said, he said, in the following instruction, however, I did not praise you. I'm reading from verse 17. He said, because you meet your meeting for worship actually do more harm than good. In the first place, I have been told that there are opposing groups in your meetings, and this, I believe, is fairly true. He said, no doubt there must be division among you so that those who are in the right will be clearly seen. Who are in the right may be clearly seen. Verse 20 said, he said, when you meet together as a group, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat.
Listen very well. You will have read further. Read the next verse.
He said, for as you eat...
This is the mistake. He's now telling them the mistake they are making, that he said it is not the Lord's supper they are eating. See the mistake. Read on now.
He said, for as you eat, you each go ahead with your own meal. So that some are hungry, while others are drunk. In my understanding now, you have fed so much of us here with too much teachings that it dwells in them
so
much.
Let me quickly, because of time, we need to pray. Listen very well. The Church of Jesus Christ, Christ Himself, instituted three ordinances that the church is supposed to keep. And each of these three ordinances, each of them, what is an ordinance? An ordinance is a physical thing you do, a ritual you do, that has spiritual implication or points you to something spiritual.
Okay.
Now, the first ordinance that he gave us, that we know, is the communion. The communion there is that it's opportunity for us to confess or relate with what he did on the cross of Calvary. His body that was offered for us. And it must be unleavened bread, because his body was without sin. Anytime you take that body, that bread that you eat, you are here identifying with what he did for you on the cross on Calvary. You are remembering what he did on the cross on Calvary. Anytime you take that wine to drink, remember that it was the Passover. The Passover lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, the Passover lamb there is what Apostle Paul, in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said he referred to Christ as our Passover. His blood was shed as the Passover lamb. Anytime you take that blood, you are reminding yourself of the covenant that wine, you are reminding yourself of the covenant that God had with us. He sealed it with his blood. The second ordinance he gave us is feet washing in John chapter 13. What is it? It's to demonstrate our oneness. I watch over you, and you watch over me. The feet washing there, what it is speaking of is that we are one. I will watch over you, you watch over me. I'll pray for you, you pray for me. I will encourage you, you will encourage me. If I see you fall down, I will lift you up. That is what feet washing is all about. And he commanded us to do it. Now the third ordinance he gave us is water baptism, burial, speaking about burial, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the ordinances that he left for us. I don't know which other understanding you have, and the church will continue with that ordinance, and the apostles continued in the breaking of bread, Acts chapter 2, from house to house. They were doing it, and we don't have a better revelation than them.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Next person, please. Shalom. Talk to microphone.
Sorry. I have a question. There's something that normally happens. Like, when I go...
Just before you, let's see somebody from Ogbomosho. Ukamaka Oka for Shalom Church. Pastor, please, how can one calculate the tithe? Is it 10% of the whole money or 10% of the gain? It is 10% of your increase, and that is gain. 10% of your gain, of your increase. So when you want to pay your tithe, actually, it is what remains after you have paid all your bills, your mandatory bills. Whatever is left, then you pay tithe from it if you are a salary person. God bless you. Yes.
Whenever I come out to pray, maybe someone comes beside me to pray.
Are you afraid of microphone?
No, sorry. Now, whenever someone comes out to pray, and somebody comes beside me to pray, I notice I leave my own problem and start praying for the person.
Oh, I'm going to pray near you next time.
I'll be weeping inside me. I'll say, solve this person's problem. And Spirit will tell me, don't solve your problem. Carry another person's load. And I will not answer. Until the person leaves, I'll continue my own prayer. And there's something I'll be experiencing.
It is a spirit of intercession. Okay. Nothing more.
Right.
It's a gift of the Spirit, a manifestation of the Spirit, an operation of the Spirit.
Okay. There's something I'll be experiencing for like 3 weeks or two now. When I sit down, sometimes just sit down, I'll carry my Bible, I can open any place. I'm not too good with the Bible. The next voice I will hear is, are you with me or against me? I will be wondering, what kind of question is that? The next I'll start asking myself, who am I? What do I really want? Am I with God or against God?
So you open your mouth now. I am with you, Jesus.
I'm confused. And
don't be confused now. That means God wants you to rededicate yourself again to Him. It's an opportunity for you to say, I belong to Jesus. Even a demon, they talk to you, say, he don't hear you now. I belong to Jesus. Carry your thing, go.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Nothing to fear about. Finish. Last person.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
My question goes like this. They say that give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar.
Yes.
And give to God what belongs to God.
Yes.
I want to ask, who is that Caesar?
Caesar was the emperor that was ruling in the Roman Empire when Israel was under the Roman Empire. He was their emperor. They were under him, paying tributes to him, paying taxes to him, and all paying allegiance. They were under his government, and he had his laws for all his subjects that were under his kingdom. And whatever he demanded us to do under the law, that is what the Lord was saying, do it. But the one that God also expects you, do it also for God. Don't abandon God and face Caesar. And don't abandon Caesar and face God. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to the Lord what is the Lord's. That's all.
Okay, praise
now,
God.
For instance, every one of us, we are supposed to pay tax to the government. So pay tax. You have given Caesar his own. Then come to church and pay your tithe. You have given God his own. Shekinah.
Praise God. And now this question goes like this. It says, you should not be poorly yoked together with unbelievers.
Yes.
Does it mean that you should not be eating with them or joke with them or
no.
play with them?
No. Eating with somebody is not yoke. The greatest yoke we have, it's like marriage. Eh? Are you married?
No.
Eh?
No.
Don't marry somebody that is not of the same faith with you. Don't marry an unbeliever. It's a yoke. It keeps you moving together. So when he said, "Don't you," I'm using as, you know, that is a yoke. Now you don't go and join a cult, because there's something that binds them together. You don't join that. So when they said, don't be unequally yoked with unbeliever, if you read that scripture very well, it mentions specifically idols. Can we read it? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, from verse 14, 15, 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. They said, for what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? So it makes it very clear. Verse 16 says, and what agreement had the temple of God, for we are the temple of God, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So that is clear. Pastor Francis sent me a note. He says, I think the gross income of a salary earner should be tithed before making expenses. I didn't say make expenses. I said payment of your bills. Listen, tithe is payment from your increase. It's from your profit. And profit, what is profit? Is capital minus. What did they calculate it? Trading and loss expense. Is it not expenses minus income? Income minus expenses gives you profit, is it not? It is from that profit. And when we say expenses, we are talking about to start with, before they give you your salary, they will take your tithe, their tax. Some take the tax, some don't take tax. Except you are in an organization where they deduct tax from source. But what if you are self-employed? You will have to pay your tax. You will have to pay your rent. You will have to pay your light bill. They are all included in your income. I mean your expenditure for that period. They are mandatory. I'm not talking about school fees. I'm not talking about food items you go and buy. I'm not talking about paying your debts. I'm talking about things that are mandatory. You will pay your NEPA bill. You will pay your telephone bills if you have such. You will pay. Then, this is the one that is your own. You use a discretion. It is your profit. Therefore, you take it and pay. Now, for those of you who collect salary, your workers, everything to be deducted is already deducted before it's given to you. So, whatever amount comes to you is your income minus expenses. They have taken all the expenses away from you. Some of you, even including the money where you borrow from cooperative, they don't come out. The one will reach your hand that moment, pay tight from it. That's it.